All right, nice to have you back with us. It is Aaron Nola, right-hander on the hill for the Phillies today, as he goes against the lefty Alex Wood, who makes his 200th Major League appearance today, his 150th Major League start. He's 30 years old, 6-3 on the year. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Marty. Thanks.
How was the trip to Oregon?
Oh, it was very good. My daughter graduated from Oregon, put in 4 years there, and it's difficult with the pandemic. But and you know, the ceremony was kind of stiff. The parents couldn't even get in, but they had a nice parade in one of the streets with the kids, and we got up close with Molly and got a little fist bump in and some nice video, and then some good social contacts all through the weekend. It was very, very memorable and very touching.
Oh, very good. Glad you're back. Well, in your absence, we had the Washington series where they didn't score many runs. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, as they like to say, when the Diamondbacks came in. And, Bruce, what a four games with the Diamondbacks. What can you say?
Yeah, it's obviously a really good thing when they come into your town, whatever town it is. You're going to sweep them, and then you see, figure out what happens from then. I mean, literally. But, you know, still, I mean, after the Washington series had maybe you believing maybe this incredible run of hitting is finally coming to an end. It was inevitable, but no. I mean, this team is the fun never stops with this team. And that was a series they really felt like they needed to sweep, the Arizona series, but they did. And, you know, a lot of terrific things happened, just typifying the season that they're having.
Well, it's evolution right in front of us, Bruce. This team is evolving day by day, and you look at Lamont Wade and Steven Duggar. Jason Vossler can swing the bat.
Oh, man.
The veterans are still doing it. But, you know, we've been down this road before to watch a team sort of come together. And to me, the Diamondback victory with the Yastrzemski's slam gave them such confidence that they look like a different team today.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, you know, they came from so far back, and you're watching this team, and you start believing that anything is possible. Any great play, any clutch hit is possible. And I tell you, they've been so fun to watch. I mean, you mentioned, Vossler. I mean, this is just one of these guys that they pick up. But he can really hit. He's a hard-hitting left-handed bat. And, you know, Wade has shown off his throwing arm. He can field. And he got, you know, the occasional miracle from Talkman. And you have no idea who these people were in spring training. And, I got to hand it to Zaidi for just his wisdom. You know, he was known for this with the Dodgers and Max Muncy and everything else. But he's got an eye for guys who might be able to help this team in specific ways. They're not going to be Mike Trout or Juan Soto, but they can do things. And Gabe Kapler has been very good at putting guys in positions where they can be successful. You know, their pinch hitting record is remarkable, and just on and on. And anchored by a really good, mostly veteran rotation, there you have it.
You know, Cueto was fun last night, wasn't he? I mean, if you're looking for entertainment, how about he says, I don't want the jacket, first of all.
Yeah, that was good.
And then Wade just crushes one, and he scores from first, and he was moving.
Oh, he was. Yeah, I'm glad they showed him as well as the track of the ball, because he was moving. You know, you see this guy in the clubhouse, or when we could go in the clubhouse, and you're thinking, if you didn't quite know who he was, who is that? He doesn't look like any kind of ball player, but, you know, he says they're like Bartolo Colon. The guy's an athlete, you know, and you got him moving there. He got around the – he scored from first. I love Wotus sending him. That was great in itself. But just another – you know, the Giants, they believe – they just believe in themselves, and that was a great moment. And it wasn't a hilarious outing for Cueto. I mean, he has like a 78 pitch at bat there, who was it? Ortega? Who was that guy? Who was
Herrera? Odubel Herrera.
Herrera, yeah. And he falls off the mound, and then he comes back and still pitching.
Really?
Yeah, tremendous. Every night, it's every night. You know, you could write your game story, and John Shea was great. He wrote. He just figured, I'm just going to write about Cueto tonight. But every night, almost, you could build your game story around one guy, and you know his entire game, what he did, his entire game, and some of the insight behind it, and that's when you know you got something good going.
Yeah, you know, Henry said something this morning that was good. First, I think Henry should have his own show. I think he really is terrific on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I point out that they're chewing up the secondary kind of pitchers. A guy like Velasquez last night, you know, 50 pitches in two innings. Merrill Kelly, 40 pitches in an inning. They get these guys, if they're not the aces, they get these guys in positions where they knock them out and they wear them down. And Henry said Willie Mays used to say, well, you know, the ace will get his, don't worry about it. It's the other guys that I'm going to take care of. And that's kind of what the Giants do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Spahn and Burdett will get you, but you better beat Carlton Willie, you know.
Yeah,
sorry,
right.
Fans, I'm going back a few
Bob
years there.
Bob Trowbridge or Joey J.
Bob Buell, you know. No, but yeah, and it's, you know, the Giants, when they do come up against the ace, they're not necessarily trying to work a walk. They do a lot more swinging at the first pitch. They jump on what they can while they can. And then when they get a guy who's kind of a middle of the road guy who doesn't have a lot of command, they'll start working it and, as you say, wearing him down. So I love their preparation. It's certainly not fixed by any means. You know, it's very much day to day, and you'd love to be in on some of these pregame meetings or pre-series meetings among all the coaches. I'd love to hear how that goes.
You know, I'll tell you, they need Belt and they need Posey. And when you get that first two guys, I've said this before, you got the top of the order on just one of them. And you get to Belt and you get to Posey. And then if you don't get them and you got to deal with Crawford, you're at 28 pitches in an inning.
Yeah, the Belt, Crawford, Posey thing is such a huge part of all this, because for all the Talkmans and Boslers, you know, coming in and you know, the revolving door sort of thing, and all of which is working great, but to have that kind of anchor with three guys who have been, you know, legitimately doubted as far as how much they're going to be able to give the Giants, to just be at the top of their games, all three of these guys, that's just so huge. I mean, they've got unbelievable track records, and they're still, you know, Crawford is an all-star shortstop, Posey's an all-star catcher, Belt's still yanking the ball over the yard. And that's a big part of it. You need the veterans to go with sort of the unknowns.
Yeah, if you don't get the four, the Belt, you're into Crawford, and now you're into 24 pitches. I see it all the time.
Go ahead.
No, that's the key part of the first inning for me.
Yeah, and you know, they're going to get Longoria back, and that's another guy.
Right.
Who's just, his contact rate has been astounding this year. You're surprised when he doesn't just break, you know. So with any luck, he comes back and doesn't miss a beat. So all good.
So they played 70. There's 92 to go. There's a long, long, long way to go, but you got to feel pretty good right now.
Well, 70's a lot. That's a lot of games, and they've won more games than anybody in the National League by three. They lead the Dodgers by three in the win column. It's, you know, their reach is, it's certainly not a fluke. I mean, it's hard to say how any of it will sustain itself. I really think the veteran guys we talked about are going to be good to go to the finish. And I think the rotation, you know, I think only a sore arm could derail those guys. And then we'll just see how it goes with some of the guys who are just coming into their own as ball players and finding a team where they could really produce. But at 45-25, that's not like a week. I mean, that's hard evidence right there. At least suggesting that they're going to be in it. You know, I'd say well into late summer, and why not all the way things are going.
Yeah, well, you go back to, you know, comparable records, 1962. A World Series team, 66, a fabulous pennant race that went down to the last weekend. I think that was the one with Pittsburgh in the last weekend with Marichal and Koufax against the Phillies, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 71 when they won the West, and then 14 when they won the World Series. So those are the years that are comparable to this one.
Yeah, and a lot of those years, you know, they were able to prevail. I mean, Mays hit the big homer off Dick Farrell to get him into the postseason, and there were so many great moments, in those stretch drives. So it's just a great thing to be able to look forward to the month of September with this team, and see where they're at, because so they're winning believers one by one, and they show up on the Sports Center just about every night now, because not every team will do that. There's so much going on, but it's a team you need to follow.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Aaron Nola, good pitcher today. He can strike you out. He's given up some runs, but he's seen the Giants four times. He's only beaten them once, and then Alex Wood on the other side. So we'll see what happens, but it's good to chat about that. Bruce, Juneteenth is today at the ballpark. Do you have any thoughts about that? I know they're wearing the old Sea Lions uniform with a cub on the front, and not a sea lion. And Ron Wode has told me that when they got the uniforms, they didn't have any emblem to put on there, so they had to get one that had the cubs on there.
I was not aware of that, but the Giants have a real eye for doing things right, for treating the big occasions right. I think it's fantastic that they're honoring Juneteenth. They just know how to do it. I'm sure it'll be very very memorable and well done, and certainly not overdone. That's the way I would figure it to go. But I applaud them for making it part of the day.
Yep. Very important day in U.S. history.
Yeah.
And the word got to Galveston. Hello, Texas. Are you there? Anyone home in Texas? So, anyway, what a time. All right, 1990, June 19th, Don Robinson, a pinch hit home run for the Giants, the first pitcher since 1971 to hit a pinch hit home run for the Giants. Bill is going to jump in here in a second, but Don Robinson, what a ball player he was.
I love Don Robinson. He was a real throwback kind of guy. When he got to the Giants, he'd been around quite a bit, and he had scars all over the place from all the surgeries he's had, but he just loved the game. I mean, he was a guy, like, he came from a time when the pitchers felt like stamp collectors if they didn't go nine. Like, they didn't do anything, and a lot of his good work with the Giants was in relief really all through his career. He won a game for the 79 Pirates against the Reds in relief, and another one in the World Series against Baltimore in relief. And he won one for the Giants against the Cubs in that great NLCS in 1989. What I loved about him was that when he got a bat in his hands, he was extremely dangerous. He had one year with the Pirates where he had 16 RBIs and hit .282, and he only had like 90-something plate appearances. And he was a threat, which I've always loved to see that. He didn't just pay attention to his hitting. He considered himself a baseball player and a really good Giant that we remember well.
Bill, Don Robinson?
The caveman. I remember the poster they had on him. It was like the Flintstones, Bam Bam, It was pretty funny what they did with him. But I got a question for both of you. The Giants are still trying to find that fifth starting pitcher. Sanchez leaves the game in Sacramento with a blister on his hand. Sammy Long looked good in Texas. Wasn't that great the other day. Do you both see Sammy Long just filling that fifth starting spot, or do you think this is something they're going to continue to use with an opener, Bruce?
Well, he has phenomenal stuff. There's no doubt about that. And even though he did have a rocky outing last time, he did rebound, and he's got a really nasty slider, and he throws hard, and he keeps the ball down. Obviously, you can't rule him out, but after all this, I think he deserves a few more shots before you take the next step in that fifth man in the rotation. And unless he just completely bombs and looks like he has no command whatsoever, they can afford to take a fairly long look at him. I mean, they're not hanging by a thread. They're leading everybody. They got the best record in the league. If your biggest pitching problem is your fifth starter, you can afford to do a little experimenting there. But, they do have some other arms in the minors. I haven't seen any really clips of who's doing what down there. I'm not in a position to say who's ready for the bigs at any of their minor league levels. But Sam Long came up and really looked like he belonged. You know, he's got 98 people in the stands with him, and a great story. He's a great story as well. He's a very likable guy. He's a lefty, you know. So I don't know. I would like to see him get a decent look at, in that role as a starter.
Well, I agree with you. I'd give him a shot. I like what they're doing now. I think Littell just had a bad game, obviously, against the Diamondbacks, where he just couldn't get anybody out. But mm-hmm. I like Littell given that first inning. Then you bring Sam Long in to face, you know, 5-9. And then, you know, give him a little momentum to get going, and then he can get but if you put him in the first inning against the top of the order, then he's got to really establish himself. So I'm with you. I'd give him a few more shots as the second guy and bring him in after the first inning. But I think the stuff is there. Bruce, do you think, Bill, do you think anything's going to happen here with this sticky, tacky stuff? And will it change anything? Do you think you'll see anything different?
Well, you know, it's really still just completely random. I mean, as soon as they came out with this, you saw Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole have less spin rate and less success. And then last night, Trevor Bauer was just unhittable with the Dodgers. His ball's moving all over the place. You know, you'll see evidence of, oh, the pitchers are starting to dominate. And then they get a couple 10-8 games. I mean, what the hell? I mean, there's no conclusions to be drawn from this. And this has been going on since, you know, guys rode around town on horseback. You know what I mean? It's just familiar. It's always going to go on. They're going to figure out how to do it. I like the fact that they are cracking down on the absurd stuff where you pick up a ball and you can't take it out of your hand. It's so sticky. But it's just in general, they're never going to get doctoring the ball out of the game. It's too important to the pitchers to have that, and they'll figure out ways to do it. But to say that, to draw some kind of grand conclusion that, oh, well, look at it now, that's not happening. Their pitchers are pitching great, and hitters are hitting great, and everything's fine.
You know, one of the things that bothers me is you hear Glasnow saying, oh, I got elbow problems because of the way I'm holding the ball or gripping the ball, and then you have Bauer and you got Cole and talking about it. Well, they're cheaters. They're going to talk about it. All the other pitchers aren't doing that. These guys are the ones complaining with a handful of guys using it, and now they're getting caught. You know what? You know, you got to get ready to this. I mean, these guys are going to be targeted, and they should be targeted. Umpires need to watch the guys with analytics, and I think the spin rate, just like Marty was talking earlier, the spin rate's going to really dictate who was cheating and who wasn't. And I think that's one of the things, Marty, umpires are going to have to take a look at.
Yeah, and they're going to look at it every inning, and catchers, infield. I told Woe, I said, don't shake hands with anybody.
You can't get rid of him now.
No, the next thing you know, they'll be checking him.
I just hope that it doesn't cause a lot of delays, because Lord knows the game, you know, the pace of the game is a big deal, and the replay is a real blight on the pace. And if you start doing checks that last a while, you know, it's going to take up some time. And, you know, also, let's say you go out and you check a guy and you see something. Well, how do you know he loaded up that ball? I mean, to try and figure out exactly who did what to get to that point, I agree that you crack down on it, but it's more than just the guy holding the ball. You know, there's a sticky ball scientists at work behind the scenes, you know, and it's a slippery slope to go down, but I like that they're paying attention to it for sure. But I just hope that the endless checks of pitchers doesn't bring the game to a halt.
No, this is a slippery elm slope.
I was going to say oak, but yeah, elm.
Slippery
yeah.
elm slope, I can tell you that. But
the eucalyptus triangle is what it
really,
is.
Really, this is what it's turned into. But the umpires have all the pressure because they're going to, you know, have to administer this thing. All right, enough of that. One other thing before we let Bruce go. Always a pleasure to talk with him. You know, the Diamondbacks came in here. Bruce, the Orioles are losing all these games on the road. Diamondbacks set the record, 23 straight losses on the road. And I went back. I said, let's just take a look at some of the players on the Mets of 1963. And that team wasn't even the worst. The 62 team was worse. But the 63 team ended up losing the 22 in the roads. There's some good names in there.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, first of all, they had a good taste of the old Brooklyn days with Charlie Neal and Gil Hodges and Duke Snyder. They were all on that team. They're all, you know, near the end, but they were there. Jim Pearsall was on the team. One of the craziest guys who ever played. Tracy Stallard was on the team, gave up Roger Maris's 61st homer. Pumpsy Green, who broke the last team to break the color line, was the Red Sox in 59, like way after Jackie Robinson, with Pumpsy Green, who's a Bay Area guy. That was his last year in the bigs. He actually played three games at Candlestick for the 63 Mets and got a hit in each game, Marty.
Huh. I didn't know that. Very good.
Norm Sherry. Mike Kruko said Norm Sherry, when he was a pitching coach, when he'd come out to the mound, he was looking down like a guy looking for quarters and nickels in the dirt. And then he get, you know, lovable Mets like Choo Choo Coleman and Marv Thronberry. And he had, it was Ron Hunt's rookie year, in case he wanted a guy to get hit by a pitch. He got hit by a pitch 50 times in one season as he went on in his career. And then Roger Craig, the great Roger Craig, was on the team. He had 14 complete games and went 5-22. That's a bad. That's a bad club.
Well, those were the Mets of 1963. As Casey said, can anybody here play this game?
Apparently not.
So the Diamondbacks. That's quick. If you try to lose 23 in a row, you can't do it. So
I think didn't they have in 1 month they had a 13-game losing streak and a 14-game losing streak? That's almost impossible.
Yeah, and then one-run games are 1-11, so some bad luck in there, too. All right. Bruce, have a great day, and absolutely look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. Talk to you then, guys.
All right. That is great, Bruce Jenkins. Bill, this is, Aaron Nola. Let me jump on him for just a second.
Sure.
Outstanding pitcher. Good whip, all that kind of stuff. 10 homers, 83 innings. 5 solos. You can run on him a little bit. 4 stolen bases, 1 caught stealing. What do you think about him today? Belts 5-for-8 against him.
Well, his last outing was his best outing against the Yankees. 3 hits over 7 2/3 innings, struck out 9. He's got high velocity. You know, he's bringing it 95+. He's got a nice cutter. Not a lot of off-speed or breaking ball, so he's going to rely on that. And he comes right at you. You know, you're looking at 18 walks only. So that's one thing they're going to have to be watching out for. And on the other side, on Alex Wood, if you just want to talk about something on him, you know, one of the things I saw when he's ahead in the count, Marty, earned run average 0.94 against the opponents. Mm-hmm. Behind in the count, 6.14.
Wow.
So you got to watch out for him getting ahead of hitters. And we always hear first pitch strike is one of the deadliest strikes. And I think that's what we have to watch with Alex Wood today.
Yeah, first time through the order, 153. Second time through, 280, then 286.
Yep.
And Nola, 5 homers the first time through. Then he settles in the second time through, and then the third time through you can get him a little bit. But Belt 5-for-8. We'll talk more about Belt as the show goes on.
We can't forget something. Today is Dwayne Kuiper's birthday, Smoothie's
71.
Birthday today. So we got to wish him a happy birthday, and hopefully he'll get well soon.
We love him. Love Dwayne,
yes,
and absolutely a happy birthday. I'm glad you brought that up. Very good. All right, Tom McCarthy's going to join us. He's play-by-play voice of the Phillies on their TV network. Always love talking ball with him and find out a little bit more about his thoughts about the game of baseball. We'll do that and more right here at KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.